Pastor Varun and Pastor Dalla Hopperson would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word, and we pray, Father, that you will teach us and we will understand the mystery of God, the truth that comes from your word, the living word, that is like a water that washes our soul and cleanses, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I want to thank God that He is the one who initiated His love to me and to you. I remember before I became a Christian, even though I had everything, I had money, I had a beautiful girlfriend, her name is Da. I had only one girlfriend in my life, and one wife, one girlfriend. I had wonderful girlfriend, I had good education, went to medical school, get the gold medal from the King of Thailand. I was one of the best taekwondo fighter in Bangkok. I was very active in sport. I was playing a goalkeeper, a soccer for university. And I was a drummer in a very powerful band, a rock band, actually. I was playing rock music at that time with long hair, like this. I put the wig on and long hair and just bang on the... I did everything. I had a nice car, very wealthy family, but I was not very happy. I was not very peaceful. I was full of negativities, full of pessimism. And my relationship with my friends and my girlfriend and my dad, my mom, everything was so in a mess. Until one day, God looked from heaven and He said, I'm going to pick you. And thank God that somebody witnessed to me the love of Jesus. He sent His Son to die on the cross to save me from the consequences and the wages of sin. I thank God that 26 years ago, somebody witnessed to me. And after I invited Jesus Christ into my life, I was never the same. I was changed completely, turned around 180 degrees. And I tell you, this journey of following God is getting better every year. In fact, Da is my wife. If you listen to CD, you may not know who Da is. Da is my wife. She and I, we both say that, wow, our marriage life is getting better. Our relationship is getting better. We enjoy our kids. We enjoy the church. God really blesses us. And I want to give thanks to God of one thing that He has helped us all this time. Thank God that after we invited Jesus Christ into our life, He did not leave us as an orphan. He did not leave us with bare hands and bare feet and struggle trying to live our life on earth by our own strength and energy and ability. But thank God that after we came to know Him, He gave one of the most powerful person to be in our life. And that person, His name is the Holy Spirit. I thank God for the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is on earth in us and with us here to help us living a victorious, powerful, supernatural, miraculous life. Amen. Without the Holy Spirit, we will really struggle a lot to try to live according to the Word of God. So thank God for the Holy Spirit. And our God is such a good God. How many people know that our God is a generous God? If He gives something, He did not give it just kind of a little bit. He did not give you just leftover. He did not give you something that he didn't want anymore. But then he gave you, he gave it to the overflowing. He want to fill you up. He want to bless you. He want to fill you up. And he fill you up. He want to fill you up with the Holy Spirit. Amen. So that's why Jesus commands us that we need, after we become a Christian, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We should be immersed and baptized and controlled by the Spirit of God. If you have the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead, you have everything. Because that is the Spirit of God who owns everything on this earth. And God wants to give the fullness or the infilling of the Holy Spirit to every believer. That is his desire. That is his goal. That is his promise. And we call that the promise of the Father. When I become a new believer, I began to study the Bible. I began to read the Bible. And I promised God one thing. And after that, he called me to be a pastor, a preacher. And I promised him one thing is that I will be faithful to these scriptures, to the Bible. I will not teach anything against the Bible. I will not say anything against or not fully following the Bible. So what we're going to look at today is to understand the fullness of the Holy Spirit and the blessing that God gives to the church. A few days ago, while I was talking to God, God told me this way. He said that what you're going to teach on this Sunday is just normal for Christian. It's not extraordinary. It's not something like special for somebody who have MDiv or special degree from the Bible school. It's just a normal part of life. How many people who have moved to America many years ago, you have to learn new things? How many people? You have to learn new language, learn new culture, learn how to eat steak, eat French fries. When I first came to America, I didn't know what French fry is. French fries. And then I went to University of Washington, and they trained me to be a neurosurgeon. In the time of training, I need to learn so many things to become a surgeon and learn how to work with the way the hospital works, the way to talk to people in America, the patient in America. It's so different. When I first came here in Thailand, if you go to your patient, okay, you need your head cut. Okay, I'm going to take the tumor out. That's it. I see you next day. Then I cut the tumor out and done. But when I first came to America, I find out that they have about 100 questions to ask me. And then not only that, I need to call the wife and the mom and the dad and explain to everyone another 100 questions. And then it's different culture. Because in Thailand, who care? You cut on me, I'm done, I'm go home. But here, everyone will ask all the questions. So I learn new things to adapt myself into my neurosurgery life in America. I learn how to drive on the freeway here. I adapt myself how to live in America. I learned that this is a norm. It's a normal thing to do like this, to speak. Hey, man, how are you? Yesterday, I went to watch Ice Age, number 2. And I was telling my son that, wow, all the joke in this Ice Age movie is American joke. If you show that movie in Thailand, no one understand anything. All American joke. I'm serious. They make this movie for American kids. All the joke, all the slang. You understand what I mean? So you learn the slang. Piece of cake, when I first came, piece of cake. What is piece of cake? Why you say piece of cake? Another one say, oh, I don't want to say a lot of things. You think, you know, many things you learn. The same thing. After you came out from the kingdom of darkness and you are put into the kingdom of light, now you are a child of God. Now you belong to the kingdom of God. Now you are of heaven. You are the citizens of heaven. You are the ambassador of God. And you need to learn new things to be able to function and be fruitful in this kingdom. Yes, definitely. What you learn in the kingdom of God to change, to be new. Many things may not be the way you understood before. Maybe not the way that the world has taught you. So what I try to prep you right now, prepare you, is that what you learn from the Bible may not be the same way you learned when you were young. Either you take it or you deny it. Or whether you're going to adapt yourself to be fruitful in the kingdom or you just reject it. I want to adapt myself to be fruitful in the kingdom because I want to be 100% full Christian. Amen. And we talk about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And let me read this scripture one more time about the promise of God. Just to remind you, we have taught this 2 times already. If you did not listen to the first part of the lesson, you can go get a CD to hear the first 2 sessions. I'll read this to remind you. Acts chapter 2, 32 to 33. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. In other words, everything you receive from God come by the finished work of the cross by Jesus Christ. You don't gain it by your own goodness, but Jesus did it for you. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. Everyone say the promise. God promised us to give us the helper, the counselor, the Holy Spirit, so that we can be powerful, victorious, and supernatural. He poured out this which you now see and hear. Everyone say, see and hear. I want to review a little bit one more time that when a person is filled with the Holy Spirit, according to the scriptures, there will be a sign, at least one sign, that people can see and hear. I need to emphasize this because sometimes Christians learn that you just sit there on the chair and you ask for the Holy Spirit and there's no sign, nothing. Then you believe, you lie to yourself, you deceive yourself that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. No. According to the Holy Word of God, when you are filled or baptized with the Holy Spirit, there must be a sign. And when you look at the scripture carefully, the sign that repeatedly happened again and again and again, every time believers in the early church were filled with the Holy Spirit, is speaking in a new tongue. Speaking in a new tongue is a sign of receiving the Holy Spirit. Let me read to you that being filled with the Holy Spirit and being born again are the separate experience. Look at Acts chapter 19. I read one more time. Just review a little bit here. Acts chapter 19 verses 1 to 6. There are many kinds of teaching in the body of Christ about this issue. One kind is this. Once you believe God, you already feel done deal. You already have the Holy Spirit. Yes, you have the Holy Spirit. But you are not filled yet. That's one teaching. I don't think it's a biblical teaching. That you after looking the, but not I think, I the Bible says so. The Bible says that when you born again, you are not filled with the Holy Spirit at the same time. You need to have a separate experience. Another teaching is this. To be born again and to be filled with the Holy Spirit are the separate experiences. Yeah, they are right partly, but they say that you don't need to have any sign. You just sit there and ask God to fill you and then done. You don't see anything. You don't hear anything. But the Bible says you will see and hear. But what is the biblical teaching? The biblical teaching is that after you born again, you need to ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you hear and you see tongues. Speaking in another language. And this is the biblical doctrine that we believe in this church. It's in the Bible. In Acts chapter 19, verses 1 to 6, And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus and finding some disciples, he finds somebody. He thought that these are Christians. These were Christian disciples. He said to them, listen carefully, this sentence. You all understand English, okay? The sentence, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? This question tells us many things. Number one, there is a Holy Spirit. Number two, a person who received the Holy Spirit should know that he received. Is that right? Otherwise, you cannot say, yes, I did. He asked this question, do you know that you received the Holy Spirit? It must be some evidence. Number three, this question means that when you believe, there must be something different from just believing, that you know, and it's a separate experience that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. This is a question. Like you walk to a Christian and say, Mary, you believe in Jesus? Yes. Did you receive the Holy Spirit? So it means that that Mary needs to know that she received the Holy Spirit. There must be something happened to her that she can tell that she received the Holy Spirit. And another perspective of this sentence for Paul is that Paul, you notice that Paul did not ask whether these guys went to any denomination, what is the name of the pastor, what kind of church they belong to. The first question he asked this quote-unquote believer is, do you receive the Holy Spirit? Wow. The first question, what it means to Paul, to Paul's heart. It means that it's very important that you must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. So they said to him, we have not much so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then you were baptized? Were you baptized? So then they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, so they now want to be baptized in the name of Jesus, want to be born again. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. You notice that there is a gap of time that these guys received Jesus, baptized in water, and after they came out from water, Paul laid hand on them. A separate experience from receiving Jesus and baptized in water. Then Paul laid hand, and the Bible said the Holy Spirit, it's a separate experience, came upon them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Clear. That the sign of being filled, that the Holy Spirit came upon somebody, is speaking in a new tongue. My dear brother and sister, you can sit there and argue with me and say, whatever, I don't want this guy, that's this kind of stuff, you know, I don't care. But I just wonder if Jesus Christ is standing in this room, look at your eyes and say, don't do anything until you are filled with the Holy Spirit. How are you going to answer him? Actually, this is not a suggestion from Jesus. This is not an option. This is a command. You remember I read Deuteronomy chapter 28 a while ago. If you obey the command of the Lord your God, heed his voice, you shall be blessed. Since I became a new believer in 1981, I told God that every teaching in the Bible, I gotta obey. Whatever come, I want to obey the teaching. I want it as soon as possible. I want to obey and get everything from heaven as much as I can. And I want to obey everything. I don't want to be a stubborn person to you. I want to be a good child. I want to be called blameless and upright, shun evil, love righteousness. Amen. So this is a command. And God said you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, actually, a lot of people say, oh, how is so important. Look at what Jesus said. This is the word of Jesus from his mouth himself. He said, and these signs will follow. Mark 16 verse 17. Those who believe in my name, some of them will cast out demons. Some of them will speak with new tongues. Is that right? He said, they will speak with new tongues. In other words, from Jesus' mouth himself, he said that he expects every single believer to receive the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. Amen. This is his expectation. This is his command. He said, they will. He did not say, some of them will. No, the Bible has the word some of them. For example, some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be teachers and pastors. But this one, he said, they will. Not they may. Not they shall. Not they seem to be. The Bible said, they will speak. When I came to the U.S., I remember people laugh at me. I told this story many times. Maybe I tell you one more times. I was standing in the emergency room at Harborview Hospital, looking at one guy on the stretcher. And I want to tell him, close your eyes. But I just came here only 2 weeks to America. So I said to him, cross your eyes. And my friend, Dr. Dan Silvergill, like this to me, he stuck me. And he whispered to me, close your eyes. I was so embarrassed, you know, because I didn't speak with right pronunciation at that time. I remember I went to the department, the neurosurgery department, Grand Rao. I was so new in the country. And I say, radiology. And everyone said, what do you mean radiology? And my friend whispered to me, no, radiology. So I'm still learning the new language. English is not my mother tongue language. So I'm learning. People in the OR, in the operating room, people kind of give me a hard time. One time, you know, H-O-U-S-T-O-N. How do you call it? You know, when you look at the word, H-O-U should be who? S. So it should be Houston. So I say I go to Houston. And everyone just laugh at me and say, what? Why they laugh at me? H-O-U, who? And they say, no, Houston. I say, English language is, it's interesting. Why is Houston? It should be Houston. My dear brother and sister, God wants you to get a new language in the kingdom of God. Amen. Now get the language of heaven. Get the language of God. If I come to America and I learn your language, you come to the kingdom, you need to learn a new language. But not by learning, but by the filling of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Everyone should speak in tongues. Everyone should speak in the language of heaven. I'm going to show you the benefit of speaking in tongues in this sermon and in coming sermon in detail. And I hope that I can convince you. Amen. We need the Holy Ghost. We need to speak in tongues. It's good for us. Amen. Hallelujah. In John chapter 14 verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. My dear brother and sister, the Holy Spirit came so that he can show us the things of heaven, so that we can understand. He is our teacher. He's a good teacher. When if you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, you feel that God is so distant. When you read the Bible, it's just another story. But when the Holy Spirit reveals things from the Bible, it like almost the letter in the book jump out of you, and you begin to understand the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit is your teacher. You need him. He will bring you to your remembrance. The Bible says in John chapter 15, verse 26, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. My dear brother and sister, the more you are filled with the Holy Spirit, the more you get the fire of God inside you, the more you're going to know Jesus, the more you're going to love Jesus. Right now, we don't see Jesus as in the physical form, in a physical body. We don't meet him face to face yet. How are we going to know him? How are we going to understand about him? The person named the Holy Spirit will help us to know Jesus more. Since Pastor Da and I, since we have been in revival, in the move of God or fire of God, we noticed that our relationship and the knowing of Jesus Christ has been deepened and deepened and deepened. That's why the devil is very cunning. He will try every way to bring wrong doctrines in the church. He will try every way to stop Christians in the church from being filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't believe in everything the internet say. Don't believe in everything that the book say. Don't believe even great preacher. Some great preacher may teach wrong doctrine. You need to go and study the Bible, look at the Bible. Amen. Some great preacher may tell you, oh, you don't need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We are fine. I'm fine. No, we need the Holy Spirit. So we know Jesus more. That's what the Bible says. We go by the Bible. We don't go by what man say. Look at John chapter 16, verse 13. How many people want to know what's going to happen in the future? If you're going to buy a stock and God tell you, oh, don't buy that, because you're going to lose money. Do you like that? Yeah. I remember one time the hospital called me. Hello, I have a patient for you. This patient needs surgery. This needs an operation. Suddenly the Holy Spirit tell me, don't take this patient, send to Harborview. I say, no, I'm sorry. I cannot handle this. Go to Harborview. You know what happened 2 years later? There is a lawsuit from this patient against every single one in the system except me. Why I was saved from this lawsuit? Look at what the Bible says. John 16, verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you. He will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He knows the future. He knows the future. He knows things to come. My dear brother and sister, you will make less mistake if you follow the Holy Spirit, because he knows what is coming. Is that right? You know, Yong and Tai, our brother and sister, were going to Phuket a few years ago when the tsunami hit. They were buying a ticket to go to Phuket the same week. But the Holy Spirit told them that they have a hard time getting a ticket. And they keep looking. And eventually the Holy Spirit told them, don't go. And you know what happened? They missed the tsunami. Otherwise, they would not be here today if they did not listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will save you. He knows the future. Amen. Now, this is what people argue. Wait a minute, pastor. Wait a minute, preacher. Did the Bible say that the tongue will cease? No more speaking tongue. And you know what scripture they quote here? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. This is what they quote. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. They quote this scripture. The tongues has ceased. No more speaking in tongue. Have tongue ceased? No. Because they just quote one scripture. Why don't we continue to read? Verse 9. The Bible says, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. What Paul tried to say here? Paul tried to talk about the gift of prophecy, that the person received the revelation from God and prophesies to the church. Even that prophet, in a few weeks, we're going to have a prophet coming to our church. And I tell you, no matter how great he is, he will know only in part. He doesn't know everything. If you have the word of knowledge, you will know only in part. And if you prophesy in tongues, you will only prophesy in part. And when the tongues and the prophecy and the word of knowledge gonna stop, gonna cease, gonna be done, deal. Look, continue to read verse 10. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. You know, a lot of people who don't like the Holy Spirit, who don't agree with the Holy Spirit, will say that what is perfect is the Bible. They say the Bible come already. This is perfect. Done deal. No more prophecy. No more apostle. No more pastor. No more gift of the Holy Spirit. This is perfect. But they forget to read verse 11 and 12. They stop at only verse 10. Let's continue to read. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Paul was talking about the perfect. Face to face. Now I know in part what then when, mean when the perfect comes. That I can see face to face. I shall know just as I also am known. Let me explain to you what it means. Let me ask this question. Do you know Jesus as much as he knows you? Jesus knows every thought in your heart. He knows how many hair you have on your head. He knows how many hair you have lost in the past few days. He knows everything about your life. He knows how much money you have in your bank account. He knows what kind of job. He knows what you're even thinking right now. He knows you, everything. But you don't really know him that much. Is that right? And the Bible says one day, Jesus is going to come back the second time. And he's going to stand before you face to face and look at you. And at that time, you will know him as much as you are known by him. So who is the perfect? Jesus. Did Jesus come back yet? Not yet. Right now, Jesus is still in heaven. He, by the Holy Spirit, revealed to the church the word of prophecy, the word of knowledge, and tongues with interpretation in the congregation. All of this, know in part because we haven't seen him yet. But by the time Jesus come back to receive the church to heaven, we don't need prophecy anymore. You know why we don't need prophecy? We can ask Jesus himself. I don't need prophecy. I don't need a prophet anymore. I don't need a pastor anymore. I don't need to go to the pastor and ask questions in the Bible. You just go to Jesus. Jesus, I don't understand this part in the Bible. Can you show me? You can talk to him directly. Face to face. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 22 verse 4, they shall see his face and his name shall be on their foreheads. Amen. Who is the perfect? Not the Bible. Jesus. And when Jesus comes, tongues will cease. But Jesus has not come yet, so the tongue will continue. Amen. Wait a minute, Pastor. You're trying to say that every believer should speak in tongue. You're a nut. You're crazy. You're just too much. It's not my opinion. It's in the Bible. Look at what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 5. I wish you all spoke, with tongues. Paul, the greatest apostle in the church history, said, I wish you all spoke in tongues. Wow. No exception. Is that right? And I read the book of Mark chapter 16 a while ago. Jesus said, they will speak with new tongues. So what the Bible says, God expects everyone to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You speak in tongues the first time in your life when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Why don't we stand up? Stand up. And sit down. Put your right hand up, left hand up. Say, I'm awake. Okay. (Clears throat)
Hallelujah. Now, wait a minute, Pastor. But the Bible also says this way. People argue about this, that. No, not everybody speaking in tongue. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 30, verse 27 to 30, I read for you. Verse 27 to 30, God, people try to use all this scripture to argue about this issue. Now you are the body of Christ, members individually, and God has appointed this in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? The answer, no. Not everyone is apostle. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Do all have gifts of healings? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. When you come to this point, people argue, oh, Pastor, wait a minute, you're wrong. Not everyone is speaking in tongues. But I will tell you, if people say like that, they are wrong. Because I'm going to show you this. Did the Bible say that every believer can lay hand on the sick and the sick shall recover? Is that right? So you are authorized to lay hand on the sick and the sick shall recover. But is everyone is a healer? Is a healer that will perform signs and wonder healing in the big crusade? No. So in other words, what Paul said, when you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13 and 14, Paul was mixing the blessing from God of personal thing level and the corporate level. Apostle, prophet, teacher, workers of miracles, tongues that he mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 27 to 30 are the gifts of the Holy Spirit that is used for a corporate meeting. If somebody, an apostle, can come up and preach. Somebody has a gift of healings, they come up and say, in Jesus' name, heal, and that person heal in a corporate meeting. Not everyone has the gift of healing. Not everyone has the gift of speaking in tongues on a microphone with interpretation as a prophecy. But everyone should be able to have a personal life of praying in tongue. Are you following me? So don't mix up between the personal thing and the corporate thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is talking about corporate thing. Not everyone has that gift. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verses 7 to 10. This is talking about the gift, the special anointing for somebody. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one, you see, just certain people, is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another one, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another one, faith by the same Spirit. So not everyone has the gift of faith. Not everyone has the gift of word of knowledge. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the works, the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirit, and to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. So Paul is talking here about the gift of the Holy Spirit is used in the corporate meeting, not about praying in tongue on a personal level. Are you following me? Do I make you confused? I hope not. Okay? Now you can see that I want to conclude that there are four kinds of tongues. There are four kinds. Let me, before I explain four kinds of tongues, I want to tell you this. Listen carefully. God is very partial. You know the word partial mean. Another word, he pick and choose. He is very partial about the gift that people use in the corporate level. But he is not partial. He doesn't pick and choose for the blessing at the personal level. There are two things here. Not everyone is gifted to be a pastor and preacher on the stage. You understand what I'm talking about? God is very partial. He picked only somebody. But at the personal level, You can read the Bible, understand, and you can explain to people. But you are not a preacher. In the corporate level, somebody has the gift to be able to speak in tongues on the microphone with interpretation. But in the personal level, you all can speak in tongues. You understand what I'm talking about here now? Personal level and corporate level. God is very partial at the corporate level. Not everyone is a healer, like certain evangelists. Amen? Now, there are four kinds of tongues. How many people want to know? Four kinds of tongues. Number one, I'm going to talk about the tongues at the corporate level first. Tongues are a sign as a sign of the unbelievers, for the unbelievers. Tongues for the unbelievers. Look at the scripture here. I quote the scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 22. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. What does it mean? For example, if a Latino gentleman walks into this church, he is a non-believer, and suddenly Stephanie come up to the microphone. Stephanie never studied Spanish. Stephanie never learned Spanish, never speaks Spanish. She come up and the Holy Spirit gave her the word to speak in completely no accent Spanish. Like perfect Spanish, perfect Latino. That non-believer Spanish guy will and accept Christ. You know what I mean? We'll be shocked. Oh, God is real. This lady can speak my language. And that's what happened in the book of Acts chapter 2 in the upper room when a lot of people received the Holy Spirit. The people that came to that city heard their own language. That those people in the upper room, 120 people, never learned before. This can happen two ways. I heard the story of a pastor. This pastor was preaching, at the end of the service, he came to the microphone and he began to prophesy in tongues, like a heavenly language. A man was sitting in the back from Jerusalem, Jewish man. At the end, that man walked to him and said, I want to accept Christ. And he said, why? You were speaking to me in a perfect Hebrews, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ at that minute. Actually, there was no interpretation that day. He was speaking and no one interpreted. So everyone wondered, why no one interpreted today? But actually, God was speaking to that non-believer and that Jewish man accepted Christ. This is a rare condition in a church. I hope it will happen in our church one day. Somebody come up and start to speak perfect Japanese. Some American, can you imagine? If some of you come up, you never know Japanese. You come up and blah, 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 blah. Arigato gozaimasu, la, 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 la. And then all the Japanese will say, ooh, God must be real. Is that right? That would be great. That would be fun. We need to expect it. We need to believe it, that it will happen in our church. Because it's in the Bible. Amen? You understand what I'm talking about? Number two, not only tongues for unbelievers. Number two, tongues for interpretation. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 5. I wish you all spoke with tongues. But even more that you prophesy. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues. Unless indeed he interprets. He's talking about corporate meeting prophecy on the microphone. Tongues on the microphone. If you speak in tongues on the microphone without interpretation, no one understands. He should interpret that the church may receive edification. This is the tongue in the corporate level. That a person come and prophesies in tongue and he or somebody else interpret. Amen. Does everyone speak this kind of tongues? No. Only certain people can speak in tongues at the microphone. Amen. Those two are for public ministry, public meeting. Now look at the personal level. God, there are many kinds of tongues. The first time you receive tongue when you were filled with the Holy Spirit. After that, some of you may be able to speak in tongue to the non-believer, speak in tongue to the believer with interpretation. But now three, personal tongue. This is a personal level. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 to 28. And the Holy Spirit help us in our distress, for we don't even know what we should pray for, nor how we should pray. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. You don't know what to pray. So you sit there, you begin to hola palakushki yala katarakushki yala papakashki. You begin to pray the word that cannot express in human language. And the Father who knows our hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. So, the problem is this. We don't know everything. I don't know what's going on with your life. I don't know what's going on with your finances. I don't know what's going on with my dad in Bangkok. I don't know what's going on with the church in Phoenix right now. I have no idea. I have limited knowledge. I don't know what to pray for them. And not only that, even though I know in part. I don't know the whole story. I listened to a story of a pastor. He was standing there and a mom came with, are you okay? Can you continue a little bit longer? A mom came in with a baby who was very sick today, almost died. So he came to the pastor and said, could you pray for my baby? Oh, definitely. The pastor loved to pray for people. He began to lift up his hand and gonna pray. And God said, no, stop. And he said, what going on here? Why you don't want me to pray for the sick baby? And God spoke to him, if this lady never get right with her husband and reconcile to each other, this baby will never be healed. So the pastor stopped and said, do you have a problem with your husband? She began to sob in tears and say, yes, we fought every day. We have problems. We never get along. And the pastor said, you go home, reconcile, and the baby will be healed. And it did. The baby was healed. So the pastor doesn't know everything. You don't know the whole picture. Is that right? But who knows? Who knows everything about you? Who knows the perfect will for your life? God. Is that right? And God, the Holy Spirit, is in the inside of you. So when you begin to pray for somebody else that you don't know what to pray for, you pray by the Spirit, capital S. Holy Spirit, who is living inside your spirit. And the Holy Spirit will speak through your mouth, His language, to the Father in heaven in His language that bypass your brain, that you don't need to think about English, you don't need to think about Japanese, you don't need to think about Tagalog or Chinese. You just pray to Him in His language. And that prayer is so powerful because He knows what's going on for that person and He knows the perfect will for that person. I share this story. I read a book about a couple, an elderly couple, in long time ago in 18th century. Their daughter went to Africa to be a missionary. And the daughter was afflicted by a plague and was dying on the bed. And they didn't know, because at that time it's so hard to communicate to mail. No, there is no email, there is no text messaging. Punch. There's no such kind of thing at that time. Early morning, God woke up the mom and said, you need to pray for your daughter. And the mom said, pray for what? I don't know. She knelt down in her kitchen, began to pray in tongue for hours and hours and hours until she broke out in holy laughter, in the spiritual Holy Spirit laughter. At the minute that she broke out in holy laughter, mean victory, the daughter got out of the bed and completely healed. No medication. Supernatural. Should Christian live in a supernatural life? We can live in a supernatural life. Amen. And God give us a supernatural weapon, praying in tongue. You may be in Minnesota. Your wife is in West Seattle. You in the airplane, you can say, halakushikatalipapakushikidilapapak. You pray for your wife. You don't know what's going on with her. you cannot phone on the plane because they say shut off your phone in a plane. But you can pray in tongue for your wife and your mom and your dad. Anywhere in the world, you can speak to God. You can pray to God by the Holy Spirit in tongues. Are you glad that we have that? Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God that the Holy Spirit knows everything. Thank God that He used your body and your mouth and your tongue to pray for somebody that is perfect in His will. Amen. Third, the fourth one, and then I will be done. And we come back some other times about praying in tongues. The four kinds of tongues. Tongues for personal prayers. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 2. Bear with me a little bit longer. The Bible says, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him." In fact, he doesn't even understand himself. "However, in the Spirit, he speaks mystery." 1 Corinthians 14, verses 14 to 15. "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding," your mind, your brain, "is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit," mean pray in tongue, "and I will also pray with the understanding," mean pray in English or in Spanish or in Japanese, "and I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding." Paul really encourages the believers in the church even today that we should pray to God in the spirit. Who is in your spirit if you are born again? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can speak, bypass your brain, and speak to God. Is that right? Why God has to do this way? Let me give you an example. If I walk into the office of the President of the United States right now, I cannot speak to him at his level. I don't know what's going on in his cabinet. I don't know the codes, governmental codes. I don't know the language of his government. So I can only speak at my level, and he has to come down from his level to speak to me. Is that right? If you walk into the CEO of a company who know everything, you can only speak at your level, and he has to come down to speak to you, to hit your level. The same thing, God knows everything. You go to God to try to speak with your own understanding, you can only speak to him at your level. Is that right? But God said, "No, I don't want that. I want you to have an intimacy with me. I want you to speak with me at my level." That is to speak at the heavenly language in your spirit that you communicate with me. Amen. Relationship. Pray in tongue is a relationship that you can speak to God at his level, at the heavenly level. You may not understand, but your spirit will be edified. The Bible says in Jude chapter 20, verses 20 to 21, "But you beloved, building yourself up, your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." When you pray in the Spirit, your spirit will be stronger. It's the way to really connect to God. This is the way that God provides to the church, that you can be stronger by praying in the spirit. Many times, one time that really I remember very well, I share this again and again because it's so obvious to me. I used to be a neurosurgery resident at Harborview Hospital in the year between 1985 to 1992. In around year 1988, I was a chief resident, which means that I had to be on call 30 days a month, except one Sunday off. Only one Sunday off a month. How tough. And I already started the church. God told me to start a church. So I started the church. That weekend, from Friday to Saturday, I got emergency call, operated all day, all night, to Sunday morning. I got out of the hospital around 7 a.m. on Sunday morning, after being up all night for two nights in a row without sleep. I was driving out of the hospital. The sky looked yellow. Have you ever had that experience? If you don't have sleep, you look at the sky, look yellow, you just blur. It's not blue. And I was talking to God. At that time, the church was only 10, 15 people. I had to arrange the chair myself, teach the Sunday school, leading worship, everything. I did everything because there's no leadership. I was the worship leader too, myself with my wife and one man playing guitar. I was in the car and said, God, how am I going to lead the church today? I'm so tired. And God suddenly said, you remember Jude verse 20? Building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. In the car, Jetta car, Volkswagen, driving to the church. I began to pray on I-5, Interstate 5. I began to pray in tongues. Only 5 minutes later, the sky became blue. All the tiredness was totally gone. I felt like I was normal with good sleep. That day, I think Peng was there, that Sunday. Peng already came to church. That day, I was able to preach everything until the end of the day, around 4 p.m. Then I crashed on the bed. But during morning to 4 p.m., I was fine because the Holy Spirit just build me up and give me strength to do the work. My dear brother, sister, if you feel weak in your spirit, if you feel weak in your body, you feel that you need strength, you need to build yourself up praying in tongue. Wake up praying in tongue. Get in the car, driving, praying in tongue. Sometimes people that drive on I-5 look at me and this guy is crazy. He was talking to somebody in tongue. I can pull the window down, listen to me. They will hear me speaking in tongue in the car. Sometime in the elevator in the hospital, I was standing alone by myself. And somebody opened up and come in. I had to stop. Hi. Because I don't want them to think I'm crazy. Praying in tongue in the hospital. Amen. But praying in tongue all the time, praying in tongue a lot. You will build yourself up. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the Holy Spirit. How can you receive the Holy Spirit? I conclude here. Luke chapter 11 verse 13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? What you need to do is to ask by faith and cooperate with Him. When the Holy Spirit comes down, you open your mouth and begin to speak. He doesn't speak for you. You speak. He gives you the language. If you stand there, shut your mouth, and don't say anything, you will not speak anything. You need to yield. You need to surrender. It's almost like this. You are a bottle. And God fills you up. Fill you up with the water of the Holy Spirit. And baptize mean what? Baptize with the Holy Spirit mean immerse. You are in. You know, water can be in the boat, and the water can be all over the boat and fill the boat up all over outside. The Holy Spirit fill you up and come and spill all over you on the outside like this. Wet all over you. So when the Holy Spirit come up, and you feel and you pray in tongue, you speak in tongue, bam, you release the Holy Spirit to come out all over you, and you are filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a way, it's a physical manifestation of you release the Holy Spirit who would want to fill you up instead of shutting Him down. If you keep your mouth shut, you try to push Him down. Don't fill me. Don't overflow. Just go down like this. But you just, let go. Open the jar and let the water come out and spill all over you. That's why speaking in tongues is the way to release the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Amen. You see what the picture I try to explain to you. Amen. Next time, we're going to learn in detail about the benefit of speaking in tongues. I don't know why God want me to teach this on Sunday morning. It's very awkward to teach about speaking in tongues on Sunday morning. It should be a special class. But because not everyone come to the special class, and not everyone listen to the CD, so I have to listen to preach on Sunday. And I believe that God wants to restore the lifestyle of praying in tongues in our church. that we all gonna pray in tongue on a regular basis, and the new generation who come in will learn from you that praying in tongue is supernatural, is good for you, is good for your own life, is wonderful. Amen. So we're gonna learn in detail next time. Today I just give you basic thing, a basic foundation of speaking, praying in tongue. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word. You give us the understanding of the things of the heavenly kingdom. Now we belong to your kingdom, Father, and we want to do the right thing. We want to, Lord, cooperate with you. We want to surrender to you, Father. May this church be the Spirit-filled church, a church that's full of the fruit of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit, Father. Thank you, Lord. We bless you in Jesus' mighty name. Before I pray for a group of people, I would like to ask this question. If you never really personally invite Jesus Christ into your heart, into your life, you may have heard about Jesus. You may have gone to church before, but you never make a clear confession with your mouth in front of public that I want to be a child of God. I want to be a Christian. Maybe only one person in this room want to do that. Maybe two, maybe three, I don't know. But you say, God, I want to today make a clear commitment that I am a Christian. I invite Jesus to come into my life. If you want to do that, I'd like you to raise your hand up. I will pray with you. Anyone that want to receive Jesus Christ, raise your hand up. Keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Two already? Three? Anyone else that want to invite Jesus into your life? Anyone else? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Could you please stand up at your chair there and I will pray with you. Stand up and we pray. Those who want to invite Jesus, stand up. Those who want to invite Jesus, stand up. And I pray. You follow my prayer. Hallelujah. Anyone else want to receive Jesus Christ into your life? Receive Jesus into your life. Stand up. Hallelujah. Follow my prayer. Father, I give my life to you. I turn away from my sin. I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. He died on the cross to pay for my sin. Lord Jesus, come into my life right now. I need you. Forgive me, Lord. Take me into your kingdom and give me a new life. From today on, I am a born-again Christian. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.